And now, Bax's View from the Couch, brought to you by Rocky's Ace Hardware, Outdoor Power Headquarters, Steel, Ego, and Craftsman, Rocky's Outdoor Power Trifecta.
Hey, good morning, sports fans. How the heck are you? Folks, I don't know how it is in your house with this whole pandemic situation, but I've had it just about up to here with this whole COVID business. Not that I'm looking to irresponsibly bust through the guidelines with my impulsive behavior, but honestly, how much more do we have to give up? The Big E, the Franklin County Fair, the big balloon parade. Now this? Folks, it is with great sadness that I announce the cancellation of one of the finest traditions in all of college football. They have canceled the annual San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. The San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl was an annual tradition in the Bax Nail House, much like the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, or the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, or the Tony the Tiger Bowl, or the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, or the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl, or the Serve You First Responder Bowl, and even the Cheez-It Bowl. And of course, we would watch some of the stupid ones too. Apparently, organizers of the bowl, along with the Pac-12 conference, felt that in light of the public health concerns surrounding the pandemic, the only responsible course of action was to cancel the game for the first time since 1978. Now, this is the second bowl game affiliated with the Pac-12 that won't be played this year. In July, they canceled the Red Box Bowl, which many of you might recall when it was called the Diamond Walnut San Francisco Bowl. And earlier this year, the magical tradition and pageantry of the annual Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl and the SoFi Hawaii Bowl both canceled as well. These are tough times for college football fans. One minute you're making preparations to host your next Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl tailgate party. Now you don't even know what's going to happen. These are the sort of things I've been worried about. At what point does a shoe drop at any of these college bowl games? From the Academy Sports and Outdoors Texas Bowl to the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, nobody knows what to expect right now. And that's the thing that's so upsetting. But hey, enough of my yapping. Sports brought to you by Rocky's Ace Hardware, the farmer, the home builder, the machine shop foreman. What do they all have in common? Carhartt, the durable workwear that works as hard as you do. Rockies introduces Carhartt Workwear now at the Agawam, Westfield, Palmer, and East Longmeadow Rockies Ace Hardware locations. I'm back. That's my view from the couch.
Rock 102.
It's 7:07 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
It's clouds, 67 today, partly sunny, 67 tomorrow, already 64 in downtown Springfield. You know, I realize we're probably 10 or 11 days away from what many people are labeling as the most important presidential election in our lifetimes.
Were they saying that about the last election?
Well, probably, but more so now. And I realize that all of the major networks are covering last night's debate, and it was the final debate, and it was a big deal. But you know what? God bless USA Today for giving us something far more important to talk about.
Classifieds?
No Happy Meals.
Oh, I was going to say either that or the jumble.
Now, the Happy Meal didn't come out until 1979. So I was already 19 years old. I was not really much into Happy Meals. I don't think in my entire lifetime I could have eaten a Happy Meal and hoped that it would work. But all of the Happy Meals, and by that I mean making me happy, all of the Happy Meals have had toys in them. That's what basically got kids to become attracted to them.
Well, in fairness, in 1979, I would have been 13, but my sister, who was 7 years younger than me, would have traditionally ordered a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
So I always was able to see, all right, what is she getting? You know, what is in that Happy Meal that's going to make her happy?
Well,
she wasn't a pessimistic person. But if you looked at the kind of toy that was in that Happy Meal, that would make nobody happy.
Well, I don't know about that because, again, thank God for USA Today. They have a list this morning of the 40 most memorable toys packed into Happy Meals this year, and I would take you to task on that. Do you not remember 1982 when the Playmobil figures were included in the Happy Meal?
1982, I most certainly would.
30 million toys. They gave away 10 million when it was announced. They had ordered 30 million toys, and given away 10 million toys back in 1982.
And how many millions? Millions of children choked on those Playmobil toys?
When they realized after a week that it was, in fact, a choking hazard.
I could have told you that.
Yeah.
I think I could have told my parents that the moment my sister opened up her Happy Meal box and there's a choking hazard right next to her French fries.
Well, hey, listen. You know, it was the first year. Of course there were going to be some hit or miss things. They fixed that by 1983. When Hot Wheels became the Happy Meal toy. In 1991, wait a minute. So McDonald's gave away Hot Wheels from 1983 to 1990. Okay. In 1991, they started including their own car designs for the first time.
Yeah, they'd have like little McDonald logos on the sides of the cars.
Ah, did they have Ronald as the driver of some of them?
No, they never put like any of the Hot Wheels. They never put like a body inside the car. There was always like abandoned vehicles.
In 1983, Play-Doh came along. While the exact ingredients for Play-Doh are proprietary, Hasbro says that the ingredients are primarily water, salt, and flour. Which sounds like the meal itself. Although they noted back then, Play-Doh was not among the food items in the Happy Meal.
And unlike the food items, Play-Doh tastes terrible.
Well, I mean, there are some things at McDonald's that I've tasted that I think I probably would have preferred Play-Doh.
Let me just clarify that, given a chance to compare and contrast, I think if you put Play-Doh in your mouth, you would find that it tastes miserable. Whereas McDonald's, while it may not suit everybody's taste, for the most part is still edible. You could eat everything that comes in the bag.
Ronald McDonald is one of the most recognizable corporate mascots in the world. So it is no surprise that in 1984, they put cloth doll Ronald McDonald's into the Happy Meal. And in fact, it was so popular, he made his way into the National Museum of American History.
Wow.
Cloth Ronald McDonald.
Do you remember the plastic McDonaldland mitten with each character on it? It was like a plastic mitten, and you have like a space for your thumb, and it wound up being like puppets. So you could have like, Mayor McCheese on one hand and Grimace on the other, and you could like, yeah, you could like have them fight or have them throw things at each other. Yeah, they're like little puppets.
I'm looking through this list quickly, and I'm not seeing that listed as the top toy. But again, these are, well, wait a minute, 40 years, 1979, that would be 40 years ago. So these are all of the toys. But I don't see that unless it's got a different name and I'm just not noticing it.
I'm sure they can't list all the toys. I mean, you're talking about like, Happy. For a while, they even went with like a gender-specific toy. Like if you would say, I'd like a Happy Meal for a boy or for a girl.
Well, actually, they're...
These days, it'd be hard to impose those kinds of roles on a child, but nevertheless.
They're not listing the first three. They came out in 1979, but this list doesn't begin until 1982. Mm. So we're missing at least three of them. 1985, the My Little Pony became the toy in the Happy Meal. 1986, the Berenstain Bears. You know, we talked about the Berensteins last week
for some reason.
Did we mention the fact that they were named after one of the cartoonists?
I don't think we named them. I don't think we said the derivation of the name, other than the fact that it had changed over time.
Stanley Melvin Berenstain was the developer, one of two, and they decided to call the other was Janice Marion Grant. But who'd want to play with Grant Bears? I mean, come on. Grant Bears?
I don't know. I mean, there are people who play with Paddington Bears. And,
But Paddington, Berenstain, apparently the three-syllable name works better for the Bears than the Grant Bear.
You know what's an interesting aside about McDonald's is I knew a guy who was one of the original Ronald McDonald clowns.
Get out of here.
I'm telling you. And, like back in the 50s, they kind of started to incorporate the Ronald McDonald image all over the country. And then what they would do is they would hire these guys to be the Ronald McDonald Clowns. And this guy wound up getting this great job after he had kind of like hung up his big red shoes.
Mm.
His job was to train all of these Ronald McDonalds all over the country. And then he would train guys to be able to train other guys. It was like a McDonald's Amway scam. But this guy had an incredibly lucrative career as a Ronald McDonald trainer.
Huh.
Now they don't really hire the clown like they used to. But
no.
And this guy, AJ, is like in his 80s at this point. But he had a tremendously successful career as a Ronald McDonald clown.
They seem to have had, I'm looking at this list. I didn't realize there were many different toys within a year. In 1988, they had four different ones. You had Fraggle Rock. You had McNugget Buddies. You had, here's what I think you're talking about. Oliver and Company. In 1988, McDonald's offered four finger puppets based on characters from the Disney movie Oliver and Company.
Nope, that is not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I am talking about a plastic mitten that would go over the hands, and they had the McDonaldland characters. Ronald McDonald, Mary McCheese, Big Mac, Grimace. Even had the Hamburglar, too.
They had 1991, Barbie. Barbie never went out of fashion, and Barbie Happy Meals were first offered in 1991. Then you had, also in 91, McDino Changeables, a set of eight transforming dinosaur-like toys with names like McDino Cone, Big Macosaurus Rex, and Quarter Pounder with Cheezosaur. Sore. S-A-U-R.
That's kind of a stretch, don't you think?
Yeah, that's quite a bit of a stretch. Which is why I'm sure by 1992 they said, you know what? How about Batman car figures? That made a lot more sense. Also in 92, Potato Head Kids. And yet, no, they did not learn their lesson because back in 1993, they came out with six dinosaur toys. As well as one for children under three,
right,
which I assume was too large to choke on.
Do they have an age limit on when or how you can order a Happy Meal? I mean, can a grown-ass man own a Happy Meal? I mean, can he do that?
Well, or I don't think most three-year-olds order their own meals at McDonald's anyway.
Yeah, I know. I'm just talking about you walk in there as an adult, and let's say you want to dine inside because you like nice places, and you say, hello, I'm a 50-year-old man, and I would like a Happy Meal, please.
Well, of course, because they don't know that you don't have three grandchildren sitting at a table waiting for you.
And they say, here to go. Oh, definitely here.
Yeah, for my grandchildren.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the only thing you order? I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't personally. I'm not eating this McDonald's food. I've already eaten at Arby's. I'm bringing my grandchildren to a nicer place. Even my grandchildren are smart enough not to eat at Arby's.
Yeah, my personal standards are quite low.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, for the children, you know, they have nutritional needs.
Let's see here. 1995, Tigger from the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. That was your Happy Meal toy. And, you know, obviously, most of these involved some kind of licensing agreement, I'm sure.
They always did.
McDonald's and the big company.
Anytime, what you would see is anytime there was like a major motion picture release or a TV show, they'd try to ally themselves with some sort of marketing company. And the first place to go when you got a marketing deal, McDonald's, because that's a great way to push a brand. And they would have, you know, toys related to those releases.
I don't remember the movie Oliver and Company because it came back in 1995. A Dodger, a character from the 1988 movie Oliver and Company, apparently it was based. Oh, all right, it was based on Dickens' Oliver Twist.
Probably
the saddest kid in town.
Probably, but see, that's the kind of thing. You know, Disney comes out with a movie. And, you know, McDonald's figures, well, it's a can't fail. You know, Disney doesn't put out movies that fail. And so, you know, they have the Oliver and Company toys until they realize, oh my God, that movie was a disaster, and then you get the next stuff all ready to go. It's all on a big schedule. I mean,
they did have some things though that were not tied in to something like that. In 1989, they had Fry Kids. The Fry Kids were McDonald's characters used to promote French fries. They were used in television commercials with a jingle that said, "Keep your eyes on the fries." So there was no tie-in to a movie or a toy that year. Same thing in 88, McNugget Buddies.
Well, look what McDonald's did with their Monopoly game. Same thing. It's still another third-party tie-in.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that they also did non-third-party tie-ins, like what I just mentioned, the Fry Kids. That had nothing to do with a third party. Neither did the McNugget Buddies. That was strictly a McDonald's promotion. Changeables, also known as McRobots, produced by McDonald's itself and given away in three series. No tie-in there. They used their Halloween pails for kids to collect Halloween candy in 1985. Also, no tie-in with another company. So actually, they didn't always have this.
No, but also tied in with an event, you know, like a Halloween. Yeah. So, I mean, there was thematic, is what I'm trying to say. Not always marketed as something else, but when there was a major motion picture being released by a Disney or, you know, Harry Potter or, you know, Star Wars, they were right on top of it.
Well,
they were always very good about tying in.
I hope somebody somewhere important is paying attention to this because, again, while much of the world, television and radio, probably discussing last night's last presidential debate, we here at Rock 102, 7 a.m., talking about Happy Meals.
It's 7:21 with Bax and O'Brien. Haven't checked out a Bax and O'Brien podcast yet? Why not? What's wrong with you? What are you so afraid of? That way you can listen to Bax and O'Brien show all day long, like, you know, between 10 o'clock this morning and, you know, 5:30 on Monday. There's no Bax and O'Brien anywhere. Yeah, you can listen all weekend long.
You'd say, you know, I heard they were talking Friday about the Happy Meals. I didn't get to hear that conversation because I was paying attention to all this coverage about the debate.
That's right.
I want to know what Happy Meals were like for 40 years.
You can find the Bax and O'Brien podcast on BaxandO'Brien.com. You can also subscribe to Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. And also a Baxi's Musical Podcast next week, conversation with Peter Hook from Joy Division and New Order. Pretty cool interview, and you can check it all out on BaxandO'Brien.com.
I got my fingers crossed here that I can make it through the whole show this morning with my iPad. I realized when I got up this morning, I'd left the iPad off the charger.
Okay.
Because normally I charge it overnight, both the phone and the iPad. I'm down. It's 7:26. And I'm at 26%.
Perfect.
I don't know about that.
That should last you at least until 8 o'clock, right? Another 35 minutes?
It's got to last me at least till 9 o'clock. I don't know what time you're finishing today.
Well, I don't know what kind of battery life you have on that thing.
That's what I mean. I don't either. I don't know if it's going to make it. You know, do I have a charger? Yes, I have a charger. Do I have a lightning charger? I do. But I don't believe I'm sitting close enough to an outlet to plug it in. I don't know how long it's going.
Outlet?
Although it's still at 26% now. It didn't drop to 25 yet.
Outlet?
Holes.
Oh.
Yeah. Holes, whoever that was.
Paul Cannon.
Huh?
Paul Cannon.
Again, Paul Cannon, yeah. So hopefully 26% is enough to make it at least another hour and a half.
It's 7:27. We have news next to Rock 102.
Did you know that police ready...
Door.
Si, senor.
Two people suffered serious injuries in a two-car crash on Plumtree Road in Springfield early this morning. Springfield Police Captain David Kane said the crash happened just before 1:30 a.m. in the area of 1230 Plumtree Road. An accident reconstruction team was called in, and Plumtree Road is still closed from the crash site to the intersection of Glenville Road. Kane said that his driver should avoid the area. Fire Captain Drew Piemonte said two people were taken to the hospital with serious injuries as a result of the crash. Must have been a pretty bad one.
Yeah, usually when they call in the reconstruction team, it's many times likely that someone is going to pass away.
A man was arrested on Tuesday afternoon for failing to register as a sex offender in Wilbraham, according to the Wilbraham police. On Tuesday around 4 p.m., they received a call about a suspicious vehicle in the Raymond Drive neighborhood. The caller told police the suspicious car was occupied by a white man, later identified as 46-year-old Christopher Burham of Summers, Connecticut, by the way, if you didn't know where that was.
For sure.
Who appeared to be watching young children play. When police arrived, they located the car off the road on Main Street. After further investigation with Connecticut police, officers arrested Burham for failing to register as a sex offender level 2 or 3.
Well, where did he fail to register? In Summers?
It sounds like he failed to register
in Summers.
In Summers.
Yeah.
Because it say he's from Summers.
Yeah, right.
So
he must not have registered.
He just happened to be in Wilbraham.
But they made it sound like he failed to register as a sex offender in Wilbraham.
Yeah, I know.
He just failed to register as a sex offender, period.
Period, yeah. But, you know, the lead singer of the Shylights used to do the same thing. He would sometimes go to the park to watch the children play.
Yeah, but I don't believe he was a sex offender.
No, he probably wasn't, considering the name of the song was Have You Seen Her? And I believe he was referring to an adult female.
I'm quite certain he was, in fact. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Why? Like to... Oh, why?
Did she have to leave and
go away?
I actually have that on my phone.
I like that song.
I love that song.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Yeah. It's funny when I hear, like, I really start liking songs when they're put in, like, television or films,
mm-hmm.
like, the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't... And The Sopranos really used... when I was so into that show. And
right.
they always used music.
Yep.
In such an artistic way that,
wow.
you know, made sense with whatever scene was going
Look
on.
Look at that final scene.
With Journey, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm just saying, in any other episode that mm-hmm. had some sort of, you know, maybe pop culture reference to a song that I didn't really particularly care for before, made you look at it in a different way when it was presented in that show.
The biggest example I have of that was the premiere of the CBS show Cold Case, where the final 3 minutes of the show was them wrapping up this cold case and arresting all of the participants mm-hmm. in this crime while playing Have You Ever Seen the Rain by CCR,
right.
a song I never really cared about before,
mm-hmm.
but the way they played it, the way it timed out to what was happening, because it was pouring rain through all of these arrests and all these actors and suits and ties were, you know, out there in the pouring rain. And that's one of the ones I remember the most.
Well,
but the Shylights song I liked mostly because it was a lot of talking.
But there's
he
also
through the verses.
Well, that's not that different from, say, like in Goodfellas. Remember when, like, Joe Pesci's beating the crap out of that guy in a bar and they're playing Atlantis
Layla.
From... I think they were playing Atlantis from Donovan.
I'm remembering the scene with Layla.
Well, that one, I think that was in there too. But I think when he was in the bar and branding a guy with a bar stool, I'm pretty sure that was Atlantis.
Hmm.
Lost and continent.
Gods they were.
Right.
Yeah.
Good Which stuff. I don't even know how you can sit there in a recording studio with all these people around you and be taken seriously trying to sing at least the first part of that song. You know, it kicks into the chorus. It's a great song, but couldn't you cut the whole thing short by just
no
going
way.
Right to that chorus? Because that whole thing about the lost continent is awful.
But again, sometimes directors or whoever who are using music, like, fade the lyrics up at the lyrics that make sense to what the scene is going
on. Yeah, but you know what? In the song Atlantis, there is nothing that says, grab a bar stool and brain this guy over the head. It would have made for a better song.
You, every time you hear the song, that's what you want to do. I think that's
you know,
the
you
difference.
Bring up a very good point. I can't really argue with that.
Yeah.
Listen, Steeler's wheel stuck in the middle of you was never the same for anybody who's ever watched Reservoir Dogs.
That's true.
Did you ever see that movie?
we've talked about this many times. Right. I saw most of it.
Yeah, and that scene where he basically razor blades the guy and then pours gasoline on
him. That's when I was out in the hallway.
But he's playing that song and he's dancing around to it. It was just so
when you hear Steelers Wheel, you just think of it as a toe tap and dig.
Oh yeah.
Right.
I just think of it as another great classic hit.
Whereas Steve and I think of it as like a painful bloodbath.
Yeah.
Police in a Massachusetts town said they are searching for the person responsible for hanging a sign in favor of President Donald Trump's re-election across live electrical wires, endangering themselves and nearby drivers. The Wilmington Police Department tweeted photographs shortly before 6:15 this morning showing the Trump 2020 sign that was attached to the live wires on Main Street in the Middlesex County town. The sign can be seen drooping over a Wilmington police cruiser. We are looking to speak with the individual who decided to hang a sign across Main Street early this morning by tying it around live electrical wires. Not only did they run the risk of electrocution, but the low-hanging sign caused a hazard to passing motorists. Actually, the picture shows it hanging from the bottom wire. So that's not
the cable wire.
That's what I mean. That's not really the high-voltage electrical wire.
No.
But they shouldn't be on wires.
No, they shouldn't, and with the douchiness of whatever side of the aisle you're on, you know, you could be driving around with a Prius with Bernie stickers and tree-hugging stickers all over your car. That's douchey. When you're hanging Trump signs from electrical wires,
mm-hmm.
That's douchey, too.
So covering almost every single window in your house with a sign. There's a home on Converse Street in Longmeadow that I went by previously, and the entire house, every single window in the house, covered in some kind of a Trump-Pence sign. But yeah, I'm looking at this Trump sign now that you're talking about, and yeah, it is on the lowest wire. But it could still be a danger. I mean, if there were a big truck that came along and took this, it would likely take down all of the wires, not just the one that the sign is on.
I guess it depends on how tight the string was. If it was like fishing line, you probably wouldn't take the pole or lines down.
But, it might not, but it's obviously strong enough to hold the sign. So,
but that's the thing. It's like, I don't think I've ever been passionate about anything so much that would drive me to do something like that.
Nope.
Listen, I barely decorate my house for Christmas on the outside. A political candidate's not going to motivate me to do any more than that either.
That's what I mean. It's like there's levels of douchiness to everything.
Right.
Well, there's a lot more of it now.
I'm not sure it works this way, but some people in their 20s and 30s who feel like the pandemic has robbed them of this year of their lives have decided to opt out of aging.
How do you do that?
You're just not going to add the year to their age on the next birthday, which is incredibly... This is, again, one of these douchey things. This is what I'm talking about. If you're going to be doing something that doesn't make any sense... douchey.
John, I mean, I know you're almost 60, you're turning 61, next year, but if I'm approaching like retirement age at 65, I'm not going to start skipping years. I want my full benefit.
I mean, even the people who were born on February 29th don't do something this stupid.
No, they don't. But again, you can't. Life doesn't work that way. Like, I don't understand how people don't grasp that concept. Another sign of the pandemic, Macy's will not have a Santa Claus at its store in New York City for the first time in almost 160 years.
Well, I've been to a lot of stores. In fact, that's the headline I saw this morning on the Drudge Report is Santa laid off this year.
Well, Santa's still working hard.
He's making toys and stuff, but he's not...
Yeah, but he's not making appearances. He's like us.
Yeah, right.
Not doing any more work releases. Santa at the Rumble season.
Yeah, yeah, you can imagine Santa trying to operate without the Arnold's Wheel of Meat.
You know how many Rock 102 t-shirts that guy owns?
Tons.
But still less than some of the people that came to work releases.
We should have had like a running board of who had the most Rock 102 paraphernalia.
I think we could already name them.
Yeah. All this extra time at home has made it possible for bored kids to do all kinds of ridiculous things with their hair, which is why this year's Kids Mullet Competition is going viral. The pandemic has led to some really fantastic mullets. Hey, I would have thought the beard thing would have been the thing that people are doing.
No, people are doing that too. But
kids can't do it.
No, kids can't do it. But the kids mullet thing, it's actually very funny.
I'm looking at it
right now. Mulletchamp.com.
Yeah. Well, that's not what I'm on, but I am looking at
some of the pictures.
A lead story for, maybe a 2-year-old who's got a good one going.
I think that's pretty funny.
Some kids are really getting into the mullet. Yeah, we were made fun of when we had them.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, did you ever have one?
A mullet? No, I never had a mullet.
John and I had mullets.
I had a helmet.
Oh, right.
I always had the bowl cut.
Well, you were like going prematurely bald at a young age anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was 22.
You never did the bald head with the mullet? Because, you said yourself, you get like the sex offender haircut.
Yeah, but then, but you said at 23, all the hair started falling out, so I never got a chance to grow it long.
Again, back to the Creek show from Eugene Levy. Chris Elliott's got a great mullet on that show. He's sporting a good one there.
Yeah, but that's very clearly a wig. That's not his. I don't believe that's his actual.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
But Roland's mullet is good.
This website I'm on, this mulletchamp.com for the kids contest.
Yeah, I'm on it now too.
They have names for them. So the one of them's the waterfall, the modern mullet, the freedom flapper, the Texas tailgate. But what was the one? The COVID camper shell. I thought that was pretty funny.
I like how they say the main event is coming. MANE.
That's
a clever play on words there.
Wow. No pun definitely intended, huh?
And good t-shirts. Mullet Champ Grow the Flow logo tee, as well as pint glasses. Oh, they got all kinds of things here. Headbands. I'm surprised they don't have face masks.
Actually,
the other day. Yeah, they probably do. I got someone gave me a lanyard for a face mask.
Oh, really?
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Tired of stuffing a face mask into either your jacket pocket or your pants pocket and, continually bending that hard wire that goes across the bridge of the nose. Now, just put it on a lanyard and it hangs around your neck like a pair of reading glasses. It's always there. You always know where it is.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty
great.
Cool.
Idea.
Wait, lanyard? You're thinking of that town in Connecticut.
No, Steve. That's Ledyard.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of that stuff that people are drinking out in Flint, Michigan.
That's lead.
You don't want to play the game?
No, he doesn't want to play
the
game.
It's kind of tough.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you guys have noticed this. Have you guys noticed that when you're wearing your mask, that the worst part about it is that you're finally able to notice the level in which your breath stinks to high hell?
Oh, yeah. We talked about that early on.
I mean,
you can finally smell your breath.
It's powerful. And early on, maybe you were holding on to the same mask for too long. Now it's like you're really starting to guess. It's not the mask. It's the breath.
Oh, yeah.
Awful.
Could be a brand spanking new mask, and all of a sudden you're still smelling it.
We need to have greater developments in the breath freshening technology.
I think it has made me, correct that problem. Yeah, you know, so? Like if you're breathing and you're like, oh man, the breath smells. You go get some mouthwash. Wash it out.
Oh, I know.
And they're actually now they're saying also mouthwash might kill the coronavirus.
Yes, but I mean, how much are you drinking it or just, swirling it in your mouth?
Swirling it around, I believe.
I don't, but it says it helps keep the spread down. It doesn't actually kill it, though. Wasn't that part of the article?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Hey, back on Tuesday afternoon, a guy allegedly shoplifted from a Home Depot in Glendora, California, and he sped off when the cops came. So a classic Southern California police chase ensued. But this one had a twist. At one point, the guy pulled into a gas station to fill up, and he even ran into the station to pay.
During the chase?
Yeah, he filled up with little gas before the police could get there, and then he took off again. He drove for more than an hour after that until he finally pulled into a parking garage near downtown Los Angeles and ran off on foot. There's no word on whether
and got
the
away.
Yeah, there's no word on whether the police ever wound up catching him. And this is from NBC Los Angeles. They have
so
the
he
video
had
clip.
Enough of a lead on the cops to lose them long enough to get into a gas station, pump enough gas into his car to go another hour. Of course, he probably still had some gas in the car anyway. Run inside to pay for it. This is
I'm watching the video clip. The guy pulls in the gas station. He gets out. He runs in the gas station while the helicopter is above.
And the helicopter's not dispatching?
Well, if the helicopter's a TV camera, they might be telling
the
cops.
Is it a TV helicopter or is it a police helicopter?
It looks... I can't tell if it's a police helicopter or not, but it looks like it might be a broadcast camera that they're doing this. But the guy starts filling up the car with gas. He's like, get $20 and pump two, please.
And some scratch tickets and the bag of chips.
Yeah. Can I get a Slim Jim?
Some licorice.
I really got to go.
I can't believe it.
Get the key to the bathroom.
You know, it's one thing to be able to stop and even get gas in the middle of a chase, you know, with a credit card or an ATM card, debit card. But I mean,
he even puts the cap back on the tank and then he gets back in and takes
off. You don't want it all splashing around.
No, but it's like you'd think that would be like he's doing everything that you normally would do, filling your tank up.
Is this a debit card? No. They want my zip code too.
But it's almost like this Benny Hill style, you're running around.
I'm looking at this one particular article now. What happens if you run low on gas during a police chase? All that speed, no doubt tanks your fuel economy. Ditching the car and running is always an option, but one cunning driver Tuesday built up enough of a lead from the cops to be able to make a pit stop. The bonus, he even went inside to pay, not at the pump. While we at The Drive don't recommend ever getting into a chase of your own, we have to admit that walking in to pay at the counter is the ultimate flex on the man's inability to keep up.
You got to give the guy credit.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think that is a pretty neat thing.
He had major front end damage on the car, including a missing bumper. But it's unclear if that happened during the chase. He took advantage of his lead on the cops to fuel up mid-chase at a Chevron station.
Is he? Does he have like a rewards card?
No, I was just thinking that. Like you get your pride points when you go.
I mean, he's not gonna miss out on 5 cents off per gallon, right?
Well, 10 cents if you got a link to your debit card.
At the station, the suspect ran inside, put $10 cash on the counter, and proceeded to fuel up. The driver actually attempted to stop for fuel twice. Just before the fill-up that was captured on camera, he barged into a different Chevron station and demanded fuel for free. As we continued refusing, he started to get more aggressive, said the station employee. He started demanding more and threatening us that if we don't, it'll get much more messy or crazy. And then he took off and went to the next Chevron station. So he obviously is brand loyal too.
Well, again, it's the customer courtesy card.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give the guy credit for staying alive during this whole ordeal. I'm just gonna keep on going. You know what? We got to stop for gas. Haven't you ever been below the E?
Oh, I've been so far I broke it off. One time I woke up in a ditch. Never knew who to thank or who
filled up my tank. Never got a chance to thank him.
Apparently, the cops had given up on the chase. That's why he had enough time to stop for gas. They broke off the chase.
Yeah, because he was going through a residential neighborhood or something. Yeah. So, yeah.
And instead, they were following him, but it was a TV helicopter that was following him.
Oh, hey. At least he's smart. You got to be smart enough, though, to fill your tank before the police chase. That's usually the key.
He probably wasn't thinking that when he was at the Home Depot.
Yeah.
It's also a great commercial for Audi. The Audi A4 he had, to prove the kind of gas mileage you can get in an Audi A4.
You know, I always wondered how long it would take to run out of gas because every car is different about that.
Well, and you always wonder about the police running out of gas, too. I mean, they're the ones who go off on these really long chases, and you ever stop to wonder, gee, are the cops going to have enough gas to make it through this chase?
Yeah, never mind the marketing that Audi could do. Think about Chevron. Yeah, when you got to fill up and you're in a real hurry to get up. I think that says something about Chevron.
Or we're the preferred gas station of most car chasing fools.
That's right.
Yeah, but you said
you live a high speed life, like your high speed chases.
You said he stopped at another one, right? And they told him no.
Yeah, he stopped at two.
Yeah, see, this would be a perfect marketing opportunity for like a competitor going, Shell, we'll fill you up.
Yeah, we won't turn you down. Yeah.
You know, if you're trying to call the AAA guy for that free gallon of gas riding down the road, I need to roadside assistance. Where are you? Everywhere.
Just follow the police cars.
Yeah.
Just turn on Channel 12.
I don't think they do like the F-16 refueling like they do in the sky.
Plane fly over you.
Your Pioneer Valley forecast today going to be cloudy with a high of 67. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 67. It is 64 right now in downtown Springfield. I'm Steve Nagel, and that's the news on Rock 102. Oh, yeah.
GG Inks, screen printing and embroidery.
It's 7:54 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102. As you know, Halloween is a week from tomorrow, and although it's going to be different this year, it doesn't mean you can't still win some good stuff with a costume contest. Rock102.com is where you want to go to submit a photo wearing your favorite Halloween costume before next Friday, the 30th, at noon. We'll pick a winner at random. They'll get treated to a Pacifico Grizzly cooler and a $100 Visa cash card. It could be yours. Just go to rock102.com. Get your Halloween on and maybe win some great prizes courtesy of Pacifico, Live Life, Anchors Up, and Rock 102 Springfield's Classic Rock.
So we were talking last week about somebody who won a $10 million scratch ticket in Chicopee. And I'm being told now that the person, this is the way taxes work. Man, this sucks. The person went and got the money, obviously a lump sum payment, $3.8 million on $10 million.
So 3.8
sucks. 3.8.
Yeah, but then they'll never be taxed on it again. That's the good thing. So if you were getting it like in an annuity and getting a payment every single year, you're getting taxed every year.
I understand that, but for some reason, I don't know. I just don't have a good enough grasp of accounting. To me, and look, I probably wouldn't do this at 60 years old, particularly with cancer. But if I were 20 years old and won that kind of money, it sounds, off paper, it sounds like it makes more sense to take it every year. Because it just sounds like it's a lot more money.
At 20, I don't know how many 20-year-olds really have the discipline to budget like that, unless they were getting it over a period of time. I can see like a 20-year-old blowing his money right away.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be the case, if you're taking it every year. But again, you're getting taxed every year. And taxed at the highest rate possible.
$3.8 million after winning 10. Keep it. I don't even want it.
Yeah, no. That would still be a hell of a lot more money than you currently have.
No, don't give me the aggravation. I don't need the aggravation like a lazy slap.
You know, and if that's your definition of aggravation, I'll take it for you. How about that? It's just about 7:57 on Rock 102.
Nestled on the best 19th hole in the valley, Zeke's Bar and Grill at Crump and Fox is serving Sunday brunch.